You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Umar Ahmed for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. What an eventful weekend of boxing. Mr. Bob Arum joins me. Let's start with the main event. Bob, give me your reaction to Terence Crawford's win over Kell Brook.
Well, I think Terence proved why he's the top pound-for-pound guy in the sport. I mean, he's a handful. I mean, he starts from the orthodox right-handed stance and gets his opponent comfortable, and then he switches to the southpaw stance, and then the opponent thinks that what's happening with the right hand is he's just going to jab and look to clock the opponent with the left hand. But, you know, Terence is completely ambidextrous. So he feints with the jab with the right hand when he's fighting southpaw, and he hooks off it and with tremendous power. And I talked to Kell after the fight. He didn't see the punch coming. He says, "I've never been hit like that in my whole career."
Yeah, what do you think of the finish?
Yeah, I mean, and he's a great finisher. So, you know, guys like Spence and Garcia, you know, don't measure up. They're one-dimensional. There's nobody around now in welterweight that can come close to competing with Crawford.
Do you believe a fight with Manny Pacquiao in the Middle East can be made next for Terence, Bob?
Well, again, you know, if you told me there would be there's no pandemic in the spring, I would say I'm completely confident, because we had the deal in place for the fight to be held in November, and the Ministry of Health in Qatar said no, because he said we wouldn't be allowed he didn't believe we would be allowed to have spectators in November. So we put it off. But we have heard from them as last week that they said if Terence is successful in the fight, we want to do that fight in the spring, either before or after Ramadan. So again, yeah, it's on the boards, but again, I can't control the pandemic. You know, I really believe that there'll be a vaccine by that time. There's a whole statement today by the Moderna company, another vaccine which looks like it has a better shelf life than the Pfizer vaccine. So I'm optimistic, but again, do I know for sure? No.
We know Terence Crawford's contract with Top Rank is closing soon.
It has another year to go.
Okay. Do you believe that after that year, Terence will renew a contract with yourselves?
Again, that's up to Terence. As long as we fulfill our contract and he fulfills his contract, and then he wants to leave or stay, that is his choice. I mean, again, I have absolutely no objection if a fighter says, look, for any reason, that I've been with you for 7 or 8 years and now I want to go on my own, or I want to go with another promoter. That's his right once he's out of contract. Look, it happens in other sports. We can't, in boxing, be that possessive. I mean, for example, your American football players, basketball players, when their contract is up, they play the field. And even though they've had a successful run with the team they have and they won championships, if they choose to go to another team, that's up to them. And there's nothing wrong with that.
But you believe Terence hasn't done enough to self-promote, Bob?
Terence, look, there are fighters who are great fighters who don't promote themselves. and fighters or great fighters who promote themselves. I mean, you take the difference between a Muhammad Ali and a Joe Frazier. Ali promoted himself, right? Because that was his nature. You take Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns and you contrast them with Marvin Hagler. Hagler, great, great fighter, great person, but didn't want to go out to a large extent and promote himself. Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns, you couldn't keep them away from a camera. So there's a difference in personality, but obviously a fighter that promotes himself, like Oscar De La Hoya did, like Floyd Mayweather did, there's great rewards for them for doing that. But again, you can take the horse to water, you can't make him drink.
Considering that, you could use that money elsewhere to invest in your rising stars, etc. Do you want to keep Terence Crawford when the contract's up?
Depends on whether what the terms are and what the conditions are. You might very well say, Terence would have had a great ride. We appreciate you being with us, but again, you're not affordable anymore, and you know, go your own way, son. I mean, that could be. Or Terence, we've had a great ride, and we'll continue to have a great ride and make it even bigger, and we want you to stay with us. How this winds up at the end of next year will be determined by a lot of factors.
Yeah, I appreciate that. How did it rate anyways on ESPN, Crawford Brook?
We don't have the rating yet. We'll have it tomorrow.
Okay. Now let's talk about the Chiefs of Port fight in Joshua Franco and Andrew Maloney. What the hell happened there, Bob?
Well, I mean, you know, this commission, I mean, they lobbied for so long for instant replay, and they got it. And then when they have an opportunity to use instant replay, it was clear what happened, that the punch at the repeated jabs shut the eye, not any kind of headbutt. You can't find a headbutt. But the referee, she was just guessing that it was a headbutt and called it a headbutt, because in a prior fight, there was a headbutt and he didn't call it, and the commission reversed it. So he was gun shy, and he's not a great referee. And for the commission to take the position they did and to support the referee who was completely incompetent, you know, did a real disservice to Andrew Maloney and made boxing a laughing stock with all the people who were watching it. We got a tweet that's on Instagram from Helen Mirren, of all people, complaining about it. But people have called me all day yesterday and today complaining about it. They said, what's wrong with boxing? What's wrong with the commission? And you know, there's another factor that really is sort of disturbing, is that, you know, in Nevada and in other parts of the United States, like UK, you can gamble on the fight, the fight's outcome. And Maloney was an underdog. And there were people who bet on him and should have been able to collect their tickets, but didn't, because it was called a no contest. Money was refunded, but the people were out of their winnings.
On the night itself, Bob, what was your conversation with Bob Bennett and the Nevada Commission?
Well, you know, I was sitting with the ESPN crew and watching it on my monitor. They did it three or four times. It showed clearly it was the punch, that there was no headbutt, that if there was any headbutt, it was to the other side, you know? And so after seeing that, I assume that the commission had the same eyes that we have, you know? It was clear. And when they said that they weren't going to reverse it and it was no contest, I got into it with them. because I helped him advocate for instant replay. I said, we got to get instant replay, blah, blah, blah. I helped push that through the commission, and I helped with the language and everything. And that's what I was saying to him. What the hell was I wasting my time giving you guys instant replay if you're not going to use it?
Of course. You believe a trilogy fight will happen?
There were a lot of four-letter expletives that went with that, but that's what I was saying.
I'm sure there was. You believe a trilogy will happen?
Well, yeah. I mean, the WBA will certainly order a rematch. And we'll certainly do the fight. You know, isn't it pretty revealing that Franco's own promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, said that this is absurd, that there was no headbutt? His own promoter.
Yeah, that does say a lot. Let's move on to the heavyweight division. We learned that Tyson Fury won't be boxing in London on December 5th anymore. And it looks like he'll be returning in the States late February, early March. Why is this, Bob? What's happened?
Again, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he realized we were going to pay money from the United States for the telecast to be shown on ESPN on a Saturday afternoon, which is not ideal time because of all the football games. And I guess Frank, you know, what was he going to do? He has no gate, right? And it's just pay-per-view. And with all the pay-per-views in the UK, I mean, Frank couldn't come up with a sizable guarantee because who knew, you know, you can't, again, pay a fighter when you don't have the revenue coming in. So I think Tyson realized that he wasn't going to get the money that he was used to getting. And so he decided not to do the fight. So I've given everybody the word. Wait for the Pulev-Joshua fight. If Pulev wins, there's no Joshua because Eddie has a rematch with Pulev. Okay? So that takes care of next year or a good part of next year for Josh. So that leaves Wilder as the best guy. So if Pulev beats Joshua, Fury, we'll talk to Fury about doing the Wilder fight probably the end of February, right? And I think by the end of February, hopefully the pandemic will be under control and we'll at least be able to put the fight, because the football season is over, in Allegiant Stadium, this magnificent, huge stadium, and do it for 15,000 or 20,000 people in a 75,000 seat stadium, you know, including the floor seats. So again, let's everybody hold off. You know, it's all well and good for Fury to say, well, I want to fight Joshua, but who knows if Joshua is going to be around after he fights my guy Pulev.
Okay, so Frank Warren confirmed to me on Friday night at his show that a judge in the United States will make a decision about this Fury Wilder free contract. Is that happening right now?
That, again, that they have the right, the Wilder people, to go to arbitration. And I told everybody to hold off. Well, let's not run up legal fees or anything. We're confident in our interpretation of the contract. Because if December 12th comes out the way I think, with Pulev winning, there's no Joshua fight. And then the Wilder trilogy is the best fight available, and why go through litigation? Let's just do the fight. That's my opinion.
Okay. What if Kubrat Pulev doesn't beat Anthony Joshua? Then what happens, Bob?
Well, then I'm sure the Wilder people, I'm sure Fury will then want to go right to a Joshua fight. And then there's a rematch with it, you know. So that knocks Wilder out. And then the Wilder people will be in arbitration with Fury and ourselves, trying to interpret the contract to say that Fury is still obligated to fight Wilder. But I assure you that's not the case. Contract is clear. But do they have the right to bring this to arbitration? Yes, but the judge in arbitration is known to everybody in boxing, and he's an honest, upright guy, and we're very confident in the result. But it may not be necessary. That's my point. It may not be necessary because, again, if there's no Joshua, why wouldn't Fury want to do a third fight with Wilder?
Okay. Well, it's a complicated situation. I'm sure it will resolve.
And it's very easy. Very easy. Not complicated at all.
Well, in terms of this whole Fury Wilder saga, it's just been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going on over a long time because if you're Wilder's people, you got to put yourself in their shoes. Even though Top Rank and Fury and their lawyers say it's clear the contract is over, they're in desperation mode and they want to do the third fight. So they're going to take their best shot by going into court if that's necessary or, you know, into arbitration. And again, what I say, it may not be necessary because if Pulev beats Joshua, I'm sure we can have an out of arbitration settlement. At least I think so.
Just the last one. Eddie Hearn made some comments on Sky Sports today saying that Joshua's resume compared to Fury's is laughable in terms of Joshua's is much better. What did you make of his comment?
Eddie says a lot of things just to say them. I mean, I can't, you know, to compare resumes is pretty stupid as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's clear that Fury fought Klitschko when Klitschko was at his peak and was the champion and beat him. Joshua fought Klitschko after Klitschko had been sort of semi-retired and certainly wasn't the peak of, but that argument gets no place. These arguments get no place, who has a better resume. And so that hopefully from Joshua's standpoint, from Eddie's standpoint, they beat Pulev, and then that decision will be made in the ring. Resumes, to the contrary, notwithstanding.
Well, Aaron, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV, as always. And best of luck with your show coming up with Shakur Stevenson next month. Good seeing back in the ring.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. Shakur, I think, is the coming big talent in the sport of boxing. I think his career is going to be monumental.
Bob Arum here for IFL TV. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.